God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to you from God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our consideration this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the people living in Galatia, ancient Turkey, chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. This is the word of our God. Dear new friends in Christ Jesus, so how well is your version of a safe place working out for you in your life? My guess is each of us has at least one or two, don't we? Remember, as kids, God willing, we had safe places, safe people, safe routines. And as adults, chances are that hasn't changed that much. Maybe your safe place is finances. You have your budget, you have your financial planner, you have your 403B, your Roth IRA. Maybe you even have that 3 to 6 months of recommended income set aside. How many? Don't show your hands. Are you set? Maybe your safe place is your profession. You have a college degree, maybe an advanced degree. You are marketable. You have a professional network. You have the respect of your colleagues. Continuing ed is what you're all about. You are at the top of your game. You are sharp. Maybe your safe place is health. 30 minutes of cardio a day, maybe cross training, probiotics, vitamins, Lose It, Fitbit. Maybe you know your target heart rate. Maybe you make those annual physicals, especially when we reach the age of 50. Is it your dream to be Teflon man, Teflon woman? Nothing will stick to you. Or have you lived enough life to know the thorns and thistles of Eden's curse from our original sin in the garden? Financial crashes like 2008 can strip away the dream and tie our hands and our budgets. Job loss due to downsizing our age can burst that professional bubble we've spent so much time building and leave only fear. Pain in the chest, aching in the joints, the thinning of the hair can cause mortality to nudge up against our safe place or crash right into it and break it for all of me to see and know. What about that mortality? That we will not live forever. That death really is waiting around a corner someplace. And that sense that we will all meet our Maker face to face one day. What does your safe place look like for that? You know, some people feel good about forever, because they are striving to be moral people. You know those Ten Commandments. They look around themselves in life and they, maybe even we, think to ourselves, you know, I could be like him, I could be like her, but I'm not, I'm better. And some people feel better about forever because they believe that somehow their opinion matters, even with God, and that God is not judgy, and that God is reasonable, and that God ultimately loves us all just the way we are. But then comes the thinning hair, the aches in the bones and in the joints, the death of a loved one close to us, and all of a sudden our mortality is very close and very real. And all of a sudden the firm foundation we thought we had and our own goodness seems just a touch shaky. as we remember all the sins that we have committed, as we see the faces of people who know our sins, and if they know, well, then God knows. And deep down, there's a part of us that tells us that God doesn't just require a little bit of love from us. He requires perfect love from us for him and for each other, and not just good enough or better than how you love. In the end, you and I come to realize that all of our safe places really end in us not being safe. And we may ask ourselves the question, where is the freedom I thought I was squirreling away? Well, friends, welcome to the human race. Welcome to the human condition apart from our God. But more importantly, welcome this day to this house of God, where God reminds us, rejoice in the person I have gifted you to be. In my Son, I have made you new, and in your baptism, I have given you new clothes to wear. Little commercial. Do we have any Star Wars fans in the audience today? Did you know that Yoda, a few hands up, I haven't seen the new one yet. Did you know that Yoda was Greek? You see, good Greek always puts the most important words first. Think about it. Fearful you are, Skywalker. Fearful, right? First words first. So, let's read our text with good Greek, a little wooden, but good Greek. And don't channel Yoda. All sons of God you are through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as into Christ were baptized, with Christ have clothed yourselves. Again, all sons of God you are through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as into Christ were baptized, with Christ have clothed yourselves. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? That is not meant to be a trick question. What does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? Does your faith give you a sense of safety and of joy? You know, our Jesus once said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He once said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the Father once said of his Son, the blood of my Son cleanses you from all of your sin. And long ago, a man named Job confessed his faith when he said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that on the last day he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. And then the most famous, the most known of the words of our God. God so loved the world that he gave into death his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. My friends, that sounds a lot like putting all of our eggs in one basket, doesn't it? A safe zone when it comes to our mortality. Anchored in one person, but notice, not anchored in you or in me or in our efforts, but anchored in Jesus Christ. It is as if the Spirit of God drew a circle on the ground with the blood of Jesus, labeled it Jesus for salvation, and by faith has placed us into that circle and has declared us to be new. New people. Sons of God, he calls us. No longer the children of John and Ruth or of Paul and Rhoda. Children limited because of our parents. Children of sin who will die in our sin, but sons of God. My dear friends, what a deal. When we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin, we have a safe place that is rock solid compared to a Roth IRA or an advanced degree or probiotics or any sense that my opinion matters and that God is not judgy. The Spirit says, stand here in this place in Jesus by faith. And there is no fear in Jesus. There is no conscience condemning us for what we have done. There is only His blood covering His sin. And death, death is but a new beginning. But raise your hand if you do bad things. Raise your hand if you are a sinner. And then look around the room and ask yourself, who is the worst sinner in this room that I know? When I look at myself and my place on this planet that God has given me to live, and when I think of all that Nathan Strobel is and all that Nathan Strobel has done, and when I think of the things that I think, and when I think to myself, if only he or she knew what I have thought, they would be hurt. And then when I think that God knows Nathan Strobel better than Nathan Strobel knows Nathan Strobel, then all of a sudden Nathan Strobel isn't such a comfortable and safe place to stand and to be. But God wants me to trust that standing by faith in Jesus removes all of that Nathan and leaves only Jesus and the status as a son of God. Incredible. Can you and I be sure that that is true, that declaration of God? Well, if God is real, if His love is real, if Jesus is real, then His promises are real. And our faith takes God at His word. God says to us, stand here in Jesus through faith, and you are my son. Whether we are man or woman, son or daughter, boy or girl, we are sons of the Most High, sons of the household. We are sons of the King, heirs together in Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the firstborn son of the household. He is our big brother who has paved for us the way, the how and the why to live and the where to stand in His blood, in the forgiveness of sins, where all the memories of our past do not linger and our consciences do not condemn. For the voice of the big brother sets the tone of the household, who says to us, I have come that you may have life, the fullness of life. Believe in me and you will live, even though you die. Sons of God, that, my friends, is awesome. But don't sons of the household get to wear the family crest, the family colors, to connect themselves to what really matters? You know, in Roman culture, a son of the household didn't really grab hold of that status until about the age of 15. When he was freed from his guardian and given the toga of the adult male and could assume the role of a son. Paul seems to be tapping into that picture when he speaks to us about our sonship and connects it to our baptisms. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. What is the blessing of baptism? What is the benefit to that simple water touching the body in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Is baptism a nice ritual, a church thing, a commitment on the part of parents to raise our boy, raise our son, our daughter in the church? Yes, but no, because it is so much more. You know, when it comes to baptism, it is always good to listen to the one who gave it, to the one who owns it. Kind of like Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, apostrophe S. It's the Lord's Supper. His sacrament, his blessing to lay out for us and to inform us, so it is with baptism. And here the Spirit of God states that baptism gives us new clothes to wear. Kind of like Nike, or Hollister, or Forever 21, but not really. Because in our baptisms, we are clothed with Jesus. He becomes our brand. He is our logo wear, so to speak. He is the one that we put on for that first day of school, for that first date, and for every date. He is the one that we put on our wedding day and on every day. And most importantly, he is the one that we will be wearing when we stand before our God for judgment. And he is still the one we are wearing when we don't feel so free of our sin. And when we don't feel so dressed for success. In the dark of night, when sleep escapes you, and worry and doubt creeps into your minds and into your hearts, just take a look at your pajamas, what you're wearing, your logo wear. And he will say to you, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." In the reality of your mortality, when that day does come that we are dying, and we know we are dying, and we have never died before, and there is fear of the unknown, then look down at how God has dressed you. And listen to your logo wear, as he says, "In all things I am at work for your good, and I will bring you safely home, O son, O daughter of the king." And when the persistent voice of conscience, the persistent thoughts of memory plague us, look down at whom we are wearing. And our spirit wearer will declare, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. You are a son, an heir of the king." You see, my friends, in all of life and in all of death, we are privileged to be clothed with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that we can say, "I thank you, God, that in Jesus you have made me free. I thank you, God, that in my baptism you have given me new clothes to wear. I thank you, God, that you have given me freedom that will last, that will stand the test of time, that will bear me, carry me safely home." So problems with your safe places? No worries. Be faithful with the things, the blessings that God has given you, and he will take care of the rest. Look down at where you are standing in Jesus with sins forgiven. And by the assurance of the Spirit, remember how God has dressed you through your baptism. And in the end, all is well. For you and I are privileged to stand with Jesus. And in there, there is joy, for this day and every day, he is who we are. Sons of the King, free and safe in him. Amen.